The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Kelly and I are arguing. Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, man.
Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Kelly, I contend, before we get into the show, is slightly, just a pinch, a skosh of color blindness.
Oh, I'll openly admit that, but that doesn't mean you're right about this particular situation.
The debate is Kelly's shirt blue or black?
It's black!
And I'm contending, and Kelly says there's no blue in his shirt, and I'm contending, is it the same color as your keyboard keys? No.
We both have black shirts on.
It's not black, though. Black is the color of your key. Never mind. Anyway.
Just faded a little bit. That's all it is, today. Man. They're just bought brand new.
Faded. No, stop it. Matt Grissom to talk college baseball with us momentarily on the show.
The Gris.
As the regionals begin, and he's got gameplay today. This show is all about action.
Yeah.
We got action in all kinds of sports. We got college baseball with Matt Grissom, Paul Carr on the Champions League. It's the number one champion sound.
I fired a few bets this morning on the Champions League.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh. I love Champions League semifinal, final. I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
And Paul went right in the direction that I was hoping and thought he was going to go, So I tailed right along.
Okay, and we'll review. You know what we'll do, since it's the end of the season here? We'll review all of his Premier League pre-flop plays from beginning of the year,
He
did. He's the guy that moves the chains for bettors. Comes in, very little fanfare.
Very little, yep.
Yeah. He's very soft-spoken. All he does is move the chains every year for everybody.
He's had the longest break maybe in the history of a numbers game.
Yeah,
we haven't had him on in like 3 weeks. Yeah. It's like incredible.
Yeah. That's because of the end of the Premier League season is so,
it wasn't much odd. This year. Wasn't much this year.
Odd and janky. Chris Felica, ladies and gentlemen, will join us from his European tour. He'll talk College World Series with us, NHL, Stanley Cup Finals, and the UCL.
Champions League.
Yeah. Champions League.
I had to shorten it down, bro.
It's like, what are you doing?
He's got,
UCL, okay.
Felica's got, it's normal Felica. He's got 16 things to talk
That's
about.
That's true. 16 sports with Chris Felica. We guarantee. So Charles Barkley, like, guarantee, meaning it'll never happen. And then I might have buried the headline, because coming up this hour, MLB June most wins. Now, the reason that I somewhat buried that is this is not going to be the sexiest segment on this as compared to others. By the way, May, right now, the Phillies did get a split in their doubleheader yesterday. So the Phillies have a one-win lead in the May contest for most wins. Everybody's got two games left. Everybody in the league has two games left, but that includes everyone in contention. Phillies are 19-7, Cardinals 18-7, Tigers 18-8. And then you have three teams with 17 wins, Yankees and Twins 17-7, and Cubs 17-8. So those are the contenders. And again, from the self-loathing standpoint, I gave out five teams at the beginning of May, and I ended up picking the Padres. Stupid me. Because three of the other teams were the Phillies, Tigers, and Cubs. And there are the Phillies atop that board, and there are the Tigers circling as well. I am hoping for the Cardinals or Yankees to win this, so I don't hate myself.
What did the Phillies do yesterday? Because they had a doubleheader, right? Split it? Okay.
Split doubleheader. Won the first game by one run, and then got housed in the second one. But the trippy thing about all of this, again, is that these teams, this just in, have no idea they're playing for this title. this is the quirk of this bet, right? So the Phillies are not going to manage these two games as if they're trying to win a monthly wins title. This just in. Because when we're watching it, when our bets are on the line, we're like, come on, why isn't he pulling the pitcher early? First sign of trouble.
I always wonder that with like March Madness. I think one of the only things I was surprised about when I first moved to Vegas of like reactions in the sports book.
Yeah.
It's the NCAA tournament games, like the first to 10 to first to 15. Because you're like, loud cheer goes up, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, the half's not over? Like, nothing's over? Like, what did people cash?
These are the weird bets where the players have no idea they are playing along with your bet, right? So that's where May stands. And so June, William Hill Caesars, our buddy Eric Biggio over there at William Hill Caesars, put them out, was it now 2 or 3 days ago now? 2 days ago, mm-hmm. I believe it was. And I wasn't the first to get there. The team that I landed on, I didn't get the best of the number. I got like the second best of the number. And then I do the thing where I'm like, I'm hoping, okay, well, Circa will put them out and then we'll talk about it on air. Because maybe Circa, like in the case of the Padres, when I was so excited about the Padres, William Hill had it like, what was it, like 16 or 17? And then Circa came out with 25. And I'm like, oh, my God, 25. And then remember, DraftKings came out with even a higher number.
Yeah, this is golf every week for me, yeah.
Right, so I wanted to do that, and then it's not going to end. It didn't end up great, is what I'm saying.
Well, the problem is that when you think Circa typically has a more favorable number for you, so you want to wait, but then sometimes the best number that was available at the moment goes away.
Well, I'm hoping that the listeners will get a better number than I do. In this case, it's kind of, anyway, Jeff Benson, shout out to him, because I had texted him after William Hill Caesars Withers out, and I said, hey, when are you guys? And he said, when are you guys putting him out? He said, they're hoping to do it Thursday, meaning yesterday. And then he texted me when it did come out. And so I quickly, eagerly went there and yeah. Okay, we'll do that.
I love that Jeff is posting this stuff and then thinking in the back of his mind, all right, let me text Gil after this. Like
that was very kind of
posted.
I did not expect a text. That was very nice of him to text me and alert me. Okay, so we'll get into that in a bit. Last night we have our Stanley Cup final set now for the second year in a row. We will have the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. If you remember last year, Panthers won the first three games. And then Edmonton came back and won the next three games before Florida won game 7-2-1. Four times in the history of hockey has a team come back from a 3-0 deficit to win. Remember, zero in the NBA, once in Major League Baseball, but four times it has happened in the history of hockey. Edmonton was efforting to be the fifth, and they just couldn't quite get there. So Florida, the reigning Stanley Cup champs, but they're going to do it all again. They're going to do it all over starting on... what is it? We're showing Wednesday here. Is that when it's starting?
I believe so.
Oh,
yes.
Really? I thought it was earlier. Okay,
yeah,
so Wednesday.
Yeah, no, I caught note of that the other day, that it was seemingly a later start for Stanley Cup final, where I thought they did a much better job than the NBA of like quickly
too.
Following it up with the final, but there is a bit of a break this year. DraftKings minus 110, both sides for the series. We're showing game one numbers right now. Oilers minus 125. Favorites at home. Gil, this is the time of year I will become a Florida Panthers fan for a couple weeks.
Why?
Just to represent. Just to rep South Florida.
Just to represent?
Yeah, just to represent. Right. Yeah.
I didn't know you were representing.
I already cashed my one hockey bet this playoffs. It was the Oilers and Panthers to meet in the finals, so that was nice.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Sharp NHL better JVT gave me that one.
What number did you get on that?
Plus 130.
Okay. I have Dreisaitl 9-1, Conn Smythe. Let's go. Let's get it done. Oilers will have the home ice, and this will be on Wednesday. This is when it starts. Okay. Coin flip on the series. Complete coin flip. Mm-hmm. Minus 110 each side. All right. And then the NBA last night. This was, I don't want to say it was unwatchable, but it was kind of meh last night, unless you're a Knicks backer and you loved everything you saw last night. Knicks coast to coast. Beat the Pacers last night, 111-94. This was never really in doubt at any point. Never really in doubt. The Knicks got it up to a 20-point lead exactly at one point, and we're like, oh, it's 20. This could get ugly now, right? Because 20's been that sort of magic number in this playoffs where teams have these ridiculous comebacks, including these very same Knicks and Pacers, 74-54. But that was not to be. Eventually, the Knicks got it to a 22-point lead. That was the high mark. They led by 17 after three. There was a bit of a Pacers run, and the Pacers got it. I don't know whether they got the closest they got was 14 at one point in the fourth quarter, but that's as close as it got. Knicks win it 111-94. Brunson 32, Cat 24-13. As they have been banding this stat around all morning, the first teammates since Kobe and Shaq to each score 20 plus in the first five games of a conference finals. That's since 2002.
Yeah, they should.
There you go.
Yeah. Good for them.
Mathurin.
They need to.
Mathurin leading the way for the Pacers with 23 points. The Pacers failed to score 100 for the first time in these playoffs. And I just want to say this to you, Kelly. And by the way, of course, now it's 3-2 in favor of the Pacers. And the Pacers, the pressure swings to them now, right? In game six, where they are now a bigger dog than they were the last time they were in Indiana. Am I seeing this right? That they're now 4.5-point favorites? Is that what I'm saying?
Yes.
For game six?
Yeah.
Or four. We're showing four, but okay. There's a bit of an adjustment. Oh, Pacers. We're showing Pacers are 4-point favorites?
Yes, they're favorites.
Four-point favorites. Okay, yeah. I was going to say 4-point favorites. So that's a bit of an adjustment here. So That's the case. This is Saturday night for game six as they try to close it out at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, formerly Conseco Fieldhouse, formerly Market Square Arena. And I'll just say this to you, Kelly, and I'm curious your thoughts again, because Ann Edwards got a lot of flack for, you know, specifically from Charles Barkley, or excuse me, from Stephen A. Smith, I should say, when he had that 45-second ESPN halftime show where he's screaming at Ann, I don't care, you know, you have to have more than two shots, Kendrick. Come on, Perk.
I don't understand the half times that, like, the networks clearly have commercial inventory to make up for. They're like, you guys only got a minute. We got to play a bunch of commercials.
Poor Malika. So Ant caught a lot of incoming. And then, the counter from the NBA hardos was, yeah, but they defended him that way. I'm going to sound 1,000 years old. Tyrese Haliburton had seven shots last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one ever accused him of being Michael Jordan. But you think, Kelly, you think the stars of yesteryear would have been held to that kind of shot output in big games like this? It's really frustrating watching a guy like that who is so all-worldly one night and then just kind of disappears.
Yeah, I think
that's kind of his thing, huh?
This was, like, I brought this up the other day when we were talking about, like, Haliburton. I don't think it's fair to compare a Haliburton to an Anthony Edwards to an SGA. He's just a different point guard, and he's had these games through the season. I think it's 13 times this season he's scored under 10 points. Yeah. The more concerning, I get your point, and yes, you want to see your star player step up in the big games. Bit more concerning number to me, six assists. If you told me he had 8 points and 14 assists, like we've seen out of Haliburton, fine. But he didn't get himself going. He didn't get his teammates going. They looked lifeless and like the series was already over.
So remember, I said in the last game in Indiana, I said if it were 4, I wouldn't have taken the Pacers. But it was 2, so I had to and got beat on that. I don't know if I will on this one either. We'll come back.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Matt Grissom's College World Series guide. If only we could locate that guy.
He's tough to track down.
It's one thing when you have a guide, but to actually talk to him in person, that would be a feat.
He's a popular guy. He's taking phone calls all day.
Yeah. You can download your copy for free at VSiN.com/CWS. Get it? College World Series. Not Chicago White Sox. College World Series. VSiN.com/CWS. For our College World Series guide. Matt Grissom doing a great job on that. Then Aaron Moore's College World Series Regionals betting strategy at the website at VSiN.com. And Greg Peterson's MLB picks. And coming up this weekend, you can check out Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA picks. Britton Hess's UFC Vegas 107 picks. Nice job, Britton. Yeah. And NBA and NHL playoff previews and picks. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription and get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe. To sign up today. VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback as my computer goes on the fritz right as I'm about to do that. So here we go. Brian Schaefer. Kelly's shirt is slate. Yeah.
It's slightly awesome. Or slate. Slate.
Slate. Slate. Yeah. I call mine charcoal-y.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
But yours is not.
That doesn't mean there's any blue in it.
No, it's a tint of blue. It's not black. That's the argument that you say it's black.
A tint of gray does not mean a tint of blue.
No. The contention here
is... I've also started doing this a lot recently.
Never mind.
I don't know what
I can't
means.
Do it anymore. Because you call me Jeff Parles. That's what he did with his arm. This is from Coach Brian. The Pacers now play in Gainbridge, formerly Bankers Fieldhouse, formerly Conseco Fieldhouse. Oh, we had it wrong on the screen then. All right. Sorry about that, Coach Brian. Thank you for that. This is from Moneyline Marv. Not trying to be a rabble-rouser, but on TV, both your shirts look heathered gray. Can't wait for Paul Carr's Stone Cold Locks coming up. And Penetration. Hold on to those EGA tickets for a few more days until the Ostapenko clash. Easiest underdog in sports will sadly cash again. Yeah, so this is the thing. So EGA's playing tennis right now. And EGA's in the third round. And she, she's up a set. We'll see what happens against Jacqueline Christian. EGA trying to get to the fourth round, the round of 16, if you will, mm-hmm. right? And EGA, with the exception of that one weird tournament that just happened, she's gone years without losing early. So this is kind of what she does. But awaiting her is the winner of, and she's got to get through Christian first, but awaiting her is the winner of, if she gets through, the Rybakina-Ostapenko match today. And we all know that there is one player that is her kryptonite. Kryptonite to her Superman, to her Superwoman. And that is Yelena Ostapenko, who she has never beaten. She has 0-6 lifetime against Ostapenko. So we'll see.
Does Superwoman get affected by kryptonite like Superman?
Good question. Don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Don't know. By the way, two tennis plays still to come today. Worked out nicely yesterday. We either went 2-0 or 1-0 on the show, on the picks on the show. The picks on the show have been doing better than the picks before the show during this French Open. It's been interesting how that has worked out. But I have two plays ready to go here, Kelly, still to come. This one will start here within about 20, 30 minutes. You know how tennis goes. Matteo Gigante, which translates in English to Matty Giant. Matt Giant. Matteo Gigante.
Love it.
Is taking on the American Ben Shelton.
Big
who's,
Matt.
Who's easy to dislike.
Yes, he is.
He is. But plus 140 on Matteo Gigante is the play, fading Ben Shelton. And then we're taking Big T, Francis Tiafoe. Big foe, I should say.
Let's go. I'm getting in on that.
Big T is Todd Wishnett. Big foe is Francis Tiafoe.
Why is Nelly Korda's brother favorite more heavily?
Wow. Nelly Korda's brother, huh? Well, he is. He is, in fact, Nelly Korda's brother. Sebastian Korda is who we're fading in that one. So Gigante and Tiafoe are your two tennis plays coming up. Shall we talk some college baseball?
We should. Great sports weekend, by the way. I feel like I see a lot of people hating. You kind of led into it. The we have not had a good NBA game since Monday. That's okay to say. They've kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But like this weekend, man, we got Champions League final. We got another NBA game. We got great golf going. We got French Open, and we got the College World Series, college baseball about to happen.
All right.
Excited,
man. And we have located Matt Grissom to talk some college baseball with us from collegeinsiders.com. Or I should say collegebaseballinsiders.com. Matt Grissom joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, Grissom on X. How you doing, Matty? What's happening?
Doing well, gentlemen. It's like Christmas morning. I'm about to sit in front of my television for about the next 12 hours and watch college baseball.
Do your friends call you Matteo Gigante by any chance when they refer to you? No, nothing like that.
Maybe an ex-girlfriend.
Okay. No, wow. There it is.
I'll make that
stupid
if
question.
I can say that there. You put it out there.
Appropriate answer.
Sorry.
All right. So all day college baseball. What are your plays today? What are you playing?
Everything. No. So here's the thing is when you've worked on this whole guide and you've just looked at nothing but numbers, you don't really get a chance to sit back and enjoy what you have done. I mean, let's call it what it is. There were 64 teams that I have stats on all throughout this guide. So if you've had a chance to look at it, you probably know better than me at this point what Central Connecticut State's WRC Plus is. And that was by design. So last night, I actually get to sit back and go through the guide and make my plays. Tough part is I'm down in Florida and Hard Rock did not put out regional futures odds, which is my favorite thing to bet. So I'm kind of just rolling on what I bet before I left Arkansas. As far as game by game basis, I have several plays that I've put in on. Some of them were before pitchers were announced. So the line has moved a little bit. A lot of teams, they're getting a little testy and throwing off their typical ace in these 2 and 3 seeded matchups. One of them being Oklahoma State. Harrison Bodendorf is going to go against Owen Proch for Duke. This is a hitting versus pitching game. Duke is number one in Power Four teams in weighted runs created. Oklahoma State has been one of the best pitching staffs here on the back half of the season, led by their ace and Harrison Bodendorf. You can get them plus 105, even money, somewhere in that ballpark. Foley Field down in Athens should play big today. I think the wind's blowing at 11 miles per hour out towards left field. I think Oklahoma State has the better pitching staff that is going to ultimately be the difference maker in this game. Go Cowboys plus the money.
All right. Just rifle through them since you're betting all day. What else you got?
Well, I was leaning on you to interject while I go over to the next one.
Oh, is that what,
but
is that why the stall was?
Yeah.
I apologize.
Because I didn't want to. Nobody just wants to have somebody on that sits here and scrolls their laptop the entire game.
Oh, I hate when these things Kansas surprise State, you, though, Matt. I hate when these segments surprise your day.
I know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. I try to do what I can. Jacob Frost going for Kansas State versus Zach Royce. There are several matchups where it's going to be a mid-major versus a Power Four. The mid-major obviously had a really good season. That's why they're here. The Power Four team, maybe just because they had a committee member that was on the board here to vote them in, maybe like Kansas State. We'll see if they're up to the test. The biggest thing I look at in these is strength of schedule. Yes, UTSA had a great season. They are 12th in weighted runs created, 10th in batting average, 14th in xFIP. But who have they played? They're 122nd in strength of schedule. They're taking on a Kansas State team who's 31st in strength of schedule. Jacob Frost is their ace. He's going to go. I like Kansas State. I think they were plus money. I like them out to minus 105 if you can get that. I just think they're in a better position. And then there's several other mid-majors. There's Western Kentucky taking on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech probably feels slighted in this position because they aren't a host. If you looked at the selection committee, you saw just a bunch of ticked off faces down in Atlanta. Western Kentucky's been good all season long, but again, 216th in strength of schedule. Can we trust that? Are you a mid-major that beat up on a lot of bad teams, or can you go out and contend? Drew Whalen's going to go for Western Kentucky versus Tate McKee. I like Georgia Tech to win this regional. That is plus 180 the last time I looked. But Western Kentucky, if you can get them on the run line, I think they're good enough to play this close. We obviously need Georgia Tech to win this regional, though, to cash that ticket. But that should be another great game. Arizona State, UC Irvine, another one out west. This is a late game in Los Angeles. UC Irvine was consistently one of the best teams out west all season long. UCLA, I'm not really buying them. Arizona State is hit or miss, even with Ben Jacobs, their ace, going. Trevor Hansen, their second day guy. This is an Anteaters team who's throwing off their ace to face Arizona State. That's how confident they are. UCI, not this team that has a super weak strength of schedule. They're 65th. Arizona State only 50th. This is a coin flip game. I think you can get UC Irvine as a dog right now, and I would ride with the Anteaters.
All right, so let me review those. Oh, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong here. Oklahoma State, these are his plays. Oklahoma State, Kansas State, UC Irvine, and then the other one, you're trying to thread a needle. You're trying to go Western Kentucky run line, but we do have Georgia Tech to win the regional at plus 180.
Yes, and you can lose a game and still win the regional.
That's right.
But I think Western Kentucky is going to play this tight.
All right. Matt Grissom, collegebaseballinsiders.com. Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day, sir.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Soccer on the other side with Paul Carr. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Hey, don't forget as well about the horses and Mike Somich's gig every Friday. VSiN at the Track goes live today with everything you need to know for the Belmont Stakes. Join racing experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman as they break down the field, give sharp analysis, and reveal their top plays. Don't miss it. VSiN at the Track, streaming live today at 2:10 p.m. Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live. And we, too, will have Michael Somich on the program today. How about that?
That's right.
We don't want to, like, take a shine away from his VSiN at the Track show, but we'll have him on. We'll ask him some horse questions as well. He's got hockey thoughts as well that we'll get to. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from folks. This is from Brian M. I would say Kelly's shirt is as black as the heart of Drew's fratricidal fish. I don't remember which tennis legend he's named after. Well, he had all three of them.
Yeah.
He had Rafa.
I think I agree with that.
Rafa, Joker, and Federer he had.
Big
words from Brian M. Bruce Dobigan. Congratulations to the Edmonton Oilers, who exploited the NHL draft formula for a decade. 4 number one overall picks, 1 number three, till they got the right guy in Connor McDavid. Lesson is clear, tanking is winning. There you go, Bruce. Prime time. Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, hey, man. Nothing better than listening to a numbers game while following the leader at the U.S. Women's Open. Okay, former leader after she just skulled shanked one in front of me. Have a day, fellas.
Sebastian Corda's sister?
How's your memorial picks coming, by the way?
You know what? I told Rob Moreno, who's making shirts recently, that I've got a new shirt idea for him because it was something I texted Matt Brown, and I realized I've probably sent this same text about 142 times over the past 3 years. I said, you know what? This leaderboard's looking pretty solid if Scottie Scheffler didn't exist. That's a repeatable text message, reusable tweet text message.
Ben Griffin, your leader after one round, though? 7-under after shooting a 63?
Yeah, I ain't scared. He coming back.
Scheffler, 4-back.
He gained like over 3 strokes putting yesterday. It happened again. Morikawa was impressive, man. There was I know Wes was on Morikawa this week. Matt Humans was on Morikawa this week.
Morikawa, 2-back.
I haven't seen it out of him this year to really get on Morikawa at all. And Scheffler, 1-under through one. He is 3-under and T3 right now.
ND Money. You guys were arguing if there's some gray in Kelly's shirt. Kelly called Gris. Gil was talking French Open. Gris is French for gray. There you go.
Does that bring it all together?
Tying it all together. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not talked to this guy in about a month. Not our fault, not his fault, just the way the cookie crumbles in soccer. But we find him now in Oklahoma, where he's at the Women's College World Series. Believe that. Paul Carr, everybody, joining us to talk some Champions League. How you doing, Paul? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, by the way.
I'm good. It's a beautiful day in Oklahoma. I'm ready for some games today. So we're here for... we have clients. We do college softball, so we have about half the College World Series teams that are clients, and also doing TV work for ESPN, doing their stat work in the truck, in the booth, helping them out with all the information, making the broadcasts even better.
Paul Carr wearing many hats.
There you go.
And by the way, when he says clients, can we throw up Paul's a title once again? Paul is the senior director of media and business operations at True Media Sports. And that is what he's referring to when he's talking about their client of theirs, in addition to being the host of the Expected Value podcast, of course. But you're wearing the True Media Sports hat in addition to the ESPN hat down there. So good on you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Before we get into your picks for the Champions League final, let us review. Can we review your Premier League pre-flop plays? Can we do that? How did we do this year?
We came up positive, so that's a win. We had Arsenal winning the title at +175, I think. That obviously didn't work out. They finished second, but, you know, weren't really in it the last half of the year. So didn't see Liverpool making the jump that they did, or really just holding steady, and Arsenal fell off and City fell off, et cetera. So didn't get that. The Newcastle top four pick died on the last day because Newcastle could not get a win in their final game when it was at home against Everton, I think. And they should have won that game. That's disappointing because it was just they were hanging around all season and had it on their racket, as you would say, going the last weekend, didn't get there. But we did get Brentford +400, top half. That one came through. It was a little bit of drama on the last day, but they had closed really strong. So got that one.
That was 4-1, right, Paul? 4-1.
That was 4-1. Yeah, that was a nice one. That worked out real well. And Southampton relegated was the easiest bet of the year. In retrospect, it's hard to believe that was plus money at the beginning of the season, even just +110. And I mean, that they got 12 points. So they were one off your favorite Derby County team from 07-08 for the fewest points in the Premier League era.
Oh, they got close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just barely. So, but that was the easiest bet. You knew that was cashing by like October. So that was nice. So yeah. So we came up. We didn't get our Golden Boot winner, but he finished second and he was +1600. So you feel good about the handicap there. So it came out positive on the futures. That's good.
And then from a week to week, you coming on the show, giving your 3-pack of picks every week. How did we do there?
We cooked this year. We were up 15 units for the year, about 19% overall.
Nice.
I mean, you always try to find a couple of things that you can ride for a little while, you know, not before the books figured out, but just while the teams are still playing that way or whatever. This year, Liverpool unders up about 6 units just on those I think it was 8 or 9 bets. On the unders, they just played a different style. They weren't as back and forth as they were with Jurgen Klopp. And it took a little while, I think, for other teams to catch on, especially that one. So that was one of the big ones this year. It's always nice to find those. Fading Man City, you remember? They went on a terrible slide from like October to December. We made 4 or 5 units doing that, fading them during that time. So always try to find a couple of those that you can ride for a little while on your place.
Are you ever going to expand to other European leagues? Or are you just, you're like, nope, I'm doing this. I'm doing this well. I'm just going to stick to the Premier League.
I'm pretty comfortable sticking to what I know and just given the time constraints, you know, this is not my full profession,
yes,
obviously, betting, or I can dive into every other league. You know, Felica pulls out these, you know, Hungarian leagues plays that he's got or something. I'm going to leave those to him for now and focus mostly on Premier League, Champions League.
Maybe we'll let on Felica later on the show to defend himself from all of his, rando bets. Yeah. All right. Champions League final. PSG and Inter Milan. You have a couple ways to skin the cat here.
Yeah, we'll start just general game flow. Inter Milan is the underdog. This game should look a lot like Inter Milan's previous couple of rounds. They played Bayern Munich, and got through, even though they were the underdog. They played Barcelona, got through despite being the underdog. And now they have PSG. And in a lot of ways, PSG is stylistically similar. You know, they press a lot, they get a lot of turnovers in their attacking third, try and create quick opportunities. Inter Milan, fairly sturdy defensively, and they will try to score on the counter. They'll try to score on set pieces. They are very comfortable playing this way. They've done it against the top teams the last couple of years. They've gotten, it was their second final. And so I expect it to be tighter, you know, a little lower scoring. This is a final after all, and six straight Champions League finals have had two goals or fewer. So my overall way, just from a total perspective, I'm taking the under. I got this at minus 110. It's drifting. I saw mostly minus 120s out there. I saw one minus 110 this morning. So that's what I would obviously look to grab if you can do that. It's a little, always a little scary to bet the unders, but it's a final. So things tend to be tighter. I think, you know, everything will just get ratcheted down a little bit. Things can always get crazy late. And that's where, you know, you give up a counterattacking goal and makes it 3-0 or something in stoppage time and you lose it there. But I'll stick with under 2.5, minus 110. Again, that's a 90-minute bet. So if it goes to extra time at 1-1, you're going to win that one.
Okay, so Inter Milan a win plus 240, the under 2.5 yeah. goals, and Jan Sommer 5 plus saves at plus 240.
Yeah, this to be honest, this price doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I look at Jan Sommer's last two games, his four games against Bayern and Barcelona. He faced at least 19 shots in all four games, and he made 6 saves, 4 saves, 7 saves, 7 saves. So he's made 5-plus, obviously, in 3 of the 4. And that's the kind of game this is going to be. You know, PSG is almost certainly going to outshoot Inter Milan, like 18-7 or something like that. And Sommer's one of the best keepers in the world. He made clutch saves in the previous legs against Bayern and Barca, and he's going to have to do the same. It's going to be like 2 big saves, 2 kind of wow saves, if Inter Milan's going to hang in this thing. So 5 at plus 240, that's on DraftKings. You know, it's like plus 145 elsewhere. But I really like the plus 240 price for him to make 5 saves just because of the way this game is almost certainly going to go, where Inter is going to be on the defensive most of the time, and they're going to give up a decent number of shots, and he's going to have to make saves one way or the other.
Okay, so a 3-pack of picks within one soccer match from Paul Carr, Champions League final. And just to give context to the average American, the Super Bowl gets... in terms of American viewership, right? American TV yep. viewership, 127 million-ish. And then globally beyond that, it's like an additional 62 million. So just shy of 200 million, if you will. The Champions League final does 450 million viewers globally.
Yep.
We can't conceive of this, can we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's really just the international nature of it because, you know, this is the Super Bowl essentially for virtually every European country, for, you know, South American countries in a lot of ways. This is the biggest club soccer match of the year. That, you know, it's the NCAA tournament for soccer. You're crowning a champion. It is technically just Europe, but, you know, that's where the best soccer is being played on the whole. So, yeah, there's just a global audience that is a little bit hard to fathom from a U.S. standpoint.
All right, Paul, we appreciate it. Oh, Kelly has something.
Paul, I'm tailing you all the way, buddy. I couldn't find any goalie props here in Vegas, though, so I'm laying off that one. I only have one other ad. Inter 2-0 exact score 16-1. That's my bomb play.
Wow.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that defense will definitely have to hold up. But I like Inter to win. Again, that plus 240 is a 90-minute price. They just have, I think, a 1 out of 3 chance of pulling that off.
A Bidlow bomb.
Go.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Enjoy Oklahoma.
Thank you. See you guys.
Paul Carr, the Women's World Series, College World Series. There you go. Representing. We were representing both of them. We'll come back. Most wins, month of June, Major League Baseball, numbers game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, majestic downtown Las Vegas. Oh, it's gorgeous. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer.
Hey-o.
Alongside. Hey, Matt Grissom was on. He gave his college baseball plays, but he didn't give all of them. Would you like to hear the rest of them?
I would.
Okay, so here's what he gave. He gave out Oklahoma State. He gave out Kansas State. These are games today, right?
Right.
Oklahoma State, Kansas State, UC Irvine. He's also got Western Kentucky on the run line, though he has Georgia Tech to win that region at plus 180. He also added, for game today, West Virginia over Kentucky, and he added UC Irvine to win their region plus 250. And he points out that the top seed in that region, UCLA, 3-7 in quad one wins, whereas UC Irvine is 7-3 in quad one wins. So UC Irvine to win that region at plus 250. You had a golf bet you added as well?
Yeah, I did. And just a reminder, all of Matt Grissom's college baseball stuff up at VSiN.com. Second round matchup play for me today. I bet Shane Lowry over Ben Griffin, your current leader. Ben Griffin, I think at some point, will stop putting the lights out of the ball. He had over 3 strokes gained putting yesterday. Shane Lowry, guy we know plays well in the tough conditions, tough golf course. He's a guy I have several bets on already this week. So going to target Shane beating Ben Griffin in a second round matchup, minus 119 on that.
All right. Most wins month of June, Major League Baseball. And again, shout out to the shops for putting these up starting last year. DraftKings doesn't have it up for June yet, at least before the show they did.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Was this the time they stop?
Remember, last year they stopped after April. We got May out of them this year. They still, what is it, May 30th? They still got time. Still got a day plus to put them up at DraftKings. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to do it.
I just don't know why you need to wait that. Right?
I don't know. I mean, the window is only so. But they, in their defense, they leave them up all month. Or they did last month.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So we'll see if DraftKings has it. But William Hill Caesars was the first to put these out this month. Circa followed suit yesterday. Because I gave out, so I gave out 5 that I was considering last month, and because 3, and specifically 1 is at the top, the Phillies, and the second one, the Tigers, are in a tie for second place, even though I ended up choosing the wrong one, why don't I go ahead and give out the 4 that I considered this month? Because a lot of people are going to hear the one I pick and they'll be like, well, I'm not going to take the one Gil picks. I'm going to take one of the 3 that he didn't pick, but that he considered. So the 3 that I picked the 3 that I considered that I did not play. First was the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees, who immediately William Hill Caesars put them out at like 5-1 odds, plus 5. They were I think they were the short shot when this market opened at William Hill Caesars, but don't hold me to that. If they weren't, they were right with the Dodgers. But the Yankees, it's very understandable why they are a short shot. Very understandable because, listen, they play. And there's a lot of this handicap with the Yankees comes down to how do you feel about the Alex Bregman-less Boston Red Sox? They are a tough team to back right now. So the Yankees have 6 against Boston, 3 at home, 3 away.
Okay.
They got 4 against the Angels. They got 3 against the Orioles. All those Angels and Orioles games are in the Bronx. And they got 3 against the Athletics in the Bronx. So, I mean, that's a cakey schedule. They do play the Dodgers, the Guardians, the Royals. Reds and Blue Jays as well. I mean, it is not a tough schedule. So the Yankees justifiably 5-1 at Caesars plus 430 at Circa. I didn't like the price. I didn't play it. The Diamondbacks. And remember, by the way, I was getting incoming texts and DMs. A lot of people like the Rangers. I did not. The Diamondbacks were the second team that I considered. I like the Diamondbacks. They were 14-1 at both shops, both at Caesars and at Circa. They play. Here's the thing with the Diamondbacks schedule. If the Diamondbacks start early, if DraftKings were to put these up adjusted all month long, they're a play on team because they close 9 out of their last 10 games for the Diamondbacks are at Colorado, 3 at Colorado, 3 at the White Sox, 3 versus the Marlins. So 9 out of their before they close with 1 game at the end of the month against
that.
The Giants.
What's the beginning of the schedule look like?
A little more difficult. They got 1 against Washington, but then they have 3 Atlanta, 3 Cincy, 3 Seattle, 3 San Diego, 3 Toronto. So it's not the hardest schedule in the world, but they close super easy. The problem, I was all ready to play the Diamondbacks, and then right at the end of the month, I'm just like, but their bullpen is so bad. Like, just dreadful. I don't know if I can do this. And so I didn't in the end.
I think you make a great point, though. If you're living in a DraftKings market,
yes.
This is like us talking NFL win totals,
right?
You circle it when it might be a good time to jump in. Like, you might be down in the wins column, right? But with that remaining schedule, and you might be able to get them at longer odds and 14-1, that could be a good play to jump in and make.
By the way, Yankees have 27 games in the 30-day month of June. The Diamondbacks have 26 games. Third team that I considered but did not play, in addition to the Yankees and Diamondbacks, were the Giants. I remember the Giants were one of my 5 last month, too. Giants, 20-1 at Caesars, plus 1650 at Circa. Giants, 1 against the Marlins, 3 at Colorado, 3 versus the Red Sox, 3 versus the Marlins, 3 at the White Sox. But, and I'm a Giants guy, I do not trust the offense through the entire month to end up being the number one team. I just don't trust it quite enough. So those are the three. By the way, Giants have 27 games in the month of June scheduled. So those are the three teams I considered but didn't play. Now, no doubt the winner comes from that group of three based on how it's been going. But the team I landed on, and this is where, again, I apologize at the top of this show for this. So the Detroit Tigers, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but I'm just going to share a little numbers game investigation reveal for you. They're a special numbers game investigation reveal. So they are the best team in Major League Baseball. It's a big investigation we have. Detroit plays 26 games in the month of June. Among those 26 games, four at the White Sox, three at the Orioles, three versus the Pirates, three versus the Athletics. The rest of the schedule is just one against Kansas City, three versus the Cubs, three versus the Reds, three versus the Rays, three versus the Twins. But again, you have 13 games against the White Sox, Orioles, Pirates, and Athletics, and you are the best team in Major League Baseball. Now, I apologize because the current price, and again, if you missed the top of the show, here's what happened. William Hill Caesars puts out their number. I see on the screen, we're doing, you know, when they came out, you flashed up a screen at one point for William Hill Caesars. I had not made my bet yet. And my whole thing with this is I wait for both shops,
right,
William Hill Caesars and Circa, to put it out because, no, I prefer to bet it at Circa because Circa has the tiebreaker rules, right? Dead heats happen at William Hill Caesars. And by the way, we could have a dead heat this month as well. We had a dead heat, I believe, last month at William Hill Caesars as well. Circa has tiebreakers, fewest losses and run differential. I prefer to have the winner take all with the tiebreaker. So the problem with that, I looked up at the screen when I hadn't bet it yet, and you had William Hill Caesars up, and the Tigers were 22-1.
Yeah, they were
22-1, and I'm like, as I'm talking when we're on the show, I'm like, oh my god, they're 22-1. Are you kidding me? Right, so I couldn't believe this. So, you know, I'm sitting here waiting. The show ends. I'm waiting. I'm like, well, Circa can put it out. I text Jeff Benson. He says, oh, we'll try to get it out by Thursday. So I'm like, okay, well, it's by Thursday. Maybe I should go ahead and make a bet at William Hill. So I do. By the time I get there, it's 16-1.
Okay. All right.
All right. So all right. I got 16-1 on the Tigers. So again, I apologize because I'm thinking, all right, it's not going to go down that much more. And who knows what Circa's price is going to be.
Again, okay? It's the same game I have to play with golf. Yep.
So I had folks in mind, but I was just like, okay, I too am going to wait for Circa because just like last month, again, remember with the Padres, Circa came out with 25-1 mm-hmm. and then DraftKings came out with north of 30-1. Anyway, so Jeff texts me and I go eagerly to Circa and I'm like, +510 at the time. I'm like, oh no. So I text Jeff back. I'm like, oh, you guys are way smarter. So then I go, well, hopefully William Hill Caesars will still have close to my number up, right? I couldn't have moved it that much. And William Hill Caesars is now down to 5-ish to 1.
Wait, but you got a bet in at 16.
I got 16-1. Okay, right. I did not get 22-1, but I got 16-1.
And you were hoping to add more.
And I was hoping to then have the listeners have a better price than I did, which typically happens. Not typically, but often happens in this market. And so in the end, I got a really good price on the Tigers. And so the question is, would I now recommend the Tigers at this price?
Yeah.
I kind of wouldn't, right? I would probably say Diamondbacks. That's who I would probably say now at the current price. But I am on the Tigers at 16-1 officially.
Man, that Yankees scheduled seemed pretty cake, though.
The Yankees were the first. I'm like, oh, this is the cake.
Yeah,
the rest of the cake. But
yeah,
they were never at good odds. They were always the shortest of the short. So that's how it goes for me. And so I ended up on the Tigers at a price that no longer is anywhere close to existing. And just again, if this is any solace to you, I didn't get the best of it either.
Mm.
I'm sitting here looking at this screen when we had it up 22-1. That's just... I just want to say this. This is the interesting thing about these markets. We were just talking about in the College World Series how the price differential is.
Price difference
is so massive,
yeah,
between books to books. Regardless of what happens here with the Tigers, that was just a bad number they put up. And Circus was a much sharper one. So that's the play. If I were to jump in right now, though, I'd probably jump on the Diamondbacks at 14-1.
Yeah, well,
just hoping that bullpen holds up.
Well, Danny Spreadsheets Higgins back there has been tracking all this stuff, and I think he didn't know who you were going to play before the show, and he was kind of like, I hope it's not the Tigers because it was 22.
It was 22. I took the 16, though. I figured, let me get in on this just in case, and there it is. Let's go, June. Coming back with Chris Felica, back from Europe. All of his plays next.